Threecast Episode 5, Flu Wiki.
Welcome to Theorycast Episode 5. My name is Kevin Lim, and today we'll be talking all about FluWiki. If you take Wikipedia as an online collaborative encyclopedia, you can think of FluWiki as a really cool online collaborative information resource covering anything and everything related to the bird flu pandemic. Together with Dem from CT, one of the editors of FluWiki, we'll be talking about how and why FluWiki got started, how FluWiki represents a power shift from the government to the people, and we'll be talking about concepts such as the illusion of trust, how there are legitimate and honorable reasons for being anonymous, as well as how we can build reputations online and learn how such reputations are actually, in a way, transferable from different spheres of interest. In any case, I won't spoil the fun, so take a listen.
Hello.
Hello, is this Dem?
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah. Actually, how should I address you? Dem from CT or...?
Dem from Connecticut.
Dem from Connecticut. Okay, that works.
Call me whatever you want. A lot of people call me Dem.
Dem. All right, that works. I was just wondering, the news reports has it that the FluWiki is started by a 52-year-old lady, is that right?
Well, she's one of the three people that started it. She happens to be the one that gave the interview.
Oh, I see. And when you mentioned three of you, who's involved?
Well, there's a group of public health experts who write a blog called Effect Measure.
Okay.
Myself. And then Melanie Mattson, who's the 52-year-old risk communications specialist and writer that was profiled on the CNN and AP article.
Okay. And I noticed that your name appears a lot on FluWiki because you're the editor in charge, correct?
Well, again, we have equal status. Melanie is officially the publisher. She uses her real name. People can contact her. There are always folks out there who feel more comfortable contacting somebody with a real name instead of a nickname.
That's right.
On the other hand, in terms of actual content, the Revere's and myself do a lot of the content, as well as other people from all over the blogosphere. And as far as editing, in the sense of reading the content, checking the content, and then separately using the forum, Melanie and myself do most of that.
Okay.
So, you know, it's when it's a question of seeing my name at the wiki, there's really two parts to the wiki. There's, if you will, the wiki proper, and then there's the forum, which is a bulletin board like any other bulletin board.
I see. Now, let's go right from the beginning, as in, how did this come about? How did FluWiki come about?
Over a year ago, as a matter of fact, closer to November 2004, I was doing some political blogging before the United States election, a presidential election. And there were a lot of different topics of interest in politics, but in addition to the election, one of the things that was catching my eye were changes or a situation in regard to healthcare, how Americans viewed healthcare, whether they saw it as part of the election, whether it was important, not important, etc. And in looking at that particular topic, bird flu, H5N1, started to creep up more and more in terms of the horizon. That is to say, it was already fairly active at that particular point in Hong Kong, and the anticipation that there might be at some point in the future a pandemic that the public health system in the United States could not necessarily deal with well was a reality. At the same time, other bloggers on the internet seem to be looking at and saying the same thing, not just in the United States, but all over the world. But two others, Melanie blogging at her place, Bump in the Beltway, and the Revere's blogging at Effect Measure, all caught my eye, and we started corresponding with each other. We started posting on each other's blogs and found that we were relatively like-minded in the concern that should there actually be a pandemic, whether it was H5N1 or something else in the future, we were not well positioned to deal with it. The next step was to say, okay, well, if that's true, what do you do about it? We are activists. That's why we were blogging. And we said, well, instead of just sitting around complaining about the fact that we don't seem to be in a position to do something about it, or that we might be hurt by this, why don't we try doing something? The next step was to say, okay, well, what do you want to do? And we decided to pool our talents, our peculiar talents, more peculiar talents perhaps you might not find in three people. And so we decided that we were going to look into a wiki, having been made aware of wikis through what happened with the tsunami in Asia, whereby wikis really were one of the best ways to try to gain active and real-time information and pass it from one person to the next. And in the case of a pandemic, we thought that would really, assuming the internet stays up, be a perfect way to try to communicate with everybody all over the world. Maybe give us some early warning, maybe just pass along ideas on what to do from one place to the other. And so we decided to set up the Flu Wiki. And that's basically how it all came to be.
Has it been working well for you?
In some ways, yes. In other ways, it's still not where we want it to be. Okay. The ways that it... Go ahead.
Oh, in what ways is it not going as part of plan?
I don't know that there's a grand master plan, but I think that we've set it up, we've got it on a stable server, we communicate, people know about it, they use it, they sign on, they talk on it. They are starting to do a great deal of individual planning. There's been a lot of information that's been placed on the wiki where people can access it. There's other people checking it for accuracy. All that stuff's good. That's the good parts of it. But I don't think that we've reached where we want to, either in terms of critical mass or, more importantly, in focusing people to really think about what's a community response, what's the right way for your local community to really try and deal with this. I've got international plans. I've got national plans. I've got state plans. I don't have very many local plans. I don't have very many hospital plans. I don't have very many small towns saying, okay, we've met in a town meeting and here's how we want to deal with this. So it really, at the moment, seems to be more top-down planning and then individual planning, but that place in the middle, small towns, small communities, perhaps religious or faith-based church groups, small groups of people who were planning on more than an individual basis, but not at the official state level, that gap still is there. We haven't really created that yet.
I see. There seems to be a very wide demographic for, in terms of users of Flu Wiki.
It sure does.
Yeah. I was wondering, there seem to be two kinds of user groups, would you think, in terms of the contributors and people who just read.
Yes.
Can you distinguish the two? What kind of people make up the contributors? Well, what kind of people make up the readers?
Well, there's three, if you want to think of it this way.
Okay.
There's the contributors, there's the readers, and there's the people who post on the forum. Now, many people can read and never post a thing, and you don't know who they are. There's no way to capture that other than to say, okay, we had X number of visits or Y number of page views per day. That can be large, but that doesn't really tell you who they are. What I can tell you is where they're from, because our site meter allows us to see that maybe 5 to 10% at any given time are outside the United States, which is a fairly large number for a United States-centric website. But in terms of those who actually post and comment, the vast majority of people are in the forum reading and commenting. And then a much, much smaller group of people are on the wiki proper, synthesizing the information that is in the forum and then just trying to distill it and then put it in a more permanent place. So, the chat room aspect of the forum gets captured by somebody or anybody who's willing to sort of take notes and then put it in terms of a more formal and more permanent place in the wiki. The contributors to the wiki proper, the more formal repository, tend to be professionals. They tend to be the virologists, the epidemiologists. We have some engineers, science-trained people, doctors, those who aren't necessarily experts in the exact field, but interested enough so that they're more into the cataloging frame of mind. And then the people who are on the forum themselves, who are writing in and just commenting, are from every walk of life, mechanics and waitresses and moms who are stay-at-home moms, and as well as a lot of veterinarians, doctors, not necessarily specialists, and then some of the specialists as well.
Why do you think it works so well, in the sense that why is it as popular as it is? Do you think it's because you're dealing with a very real topic and something that affects everyone?
Yes, and I think that as people start to read the news and they start to become aware of, for example, the spread of H5N1 from Asia to Europe to Africa, and in anticipation of what's going to become to the United States, eventually we all expect that at least the birds are going to wind up catching it. It's real. That's number one. Number two, the topic itself, in its own way, is being endorsed by the federal government, state governments, official capacity, authoritative sources, whether it's the World Health Organization or the State Health Department, are saying, yes, this is real, we're devoting resources to this.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add about FluWiki?
Well, from the beginning, one of the other things that we also wanted to make sure is that it was somewhat interactive, number one. And number two, we never intended and don't intend to ever be a complete and total substitute for the official sources like pandemicflu.gov, which only got started after FluWiki did. I think in a lot of ways they patterned themselves after us. There was an original CDC site, which was more of an FAQ, read it and here's what we have to say. Very difficult to sort through and find the information you wanted. What we find on FluWiki that we can do that the official sources can't do is official sources just don't deal real well with non-consensus items. There are things that people don't agree on and aren't sure of, like what's the role of masks and personal protective gear in a true pandemic. If Michael Levitt, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, is advising people to stockpile, there was a recent very widely publicized news item where he was suggesting people get a can of tuna fish and powdered milk and put it under your bed. That was only to draw attention to the concept of stockpiling. There's stockpiling information on pandemicflu.gov, the official government site from the Health and Human Services Department of the United States. But how long should you stockpile for? A week, 2 weeks, 3 months? They don't cover that. Are masks useful for lay people? We know it's useful for healthcare workers. That's not covered. What should you do with Tamiflu? Should you try to get some for yourself, or should you just wait for advice from the feds and state government about what to do? That's not covered. So whenever you have a topic that's a little bit controversial because there isn't enough data, the official sources do not cover it at all until it's clear. And that means that people will have questions that just can't be answered. And so what we try to do is bring those questions, get our own experts, call them if we need to, or just have people call in and say, here's what I think and here's why I think that and here are my credentials for saying that I think that this is reasonable. And rather than rely on the fact that, well, this is a government statement, or that this is an MD statement from some doctor or well-known person, rather, here's the argument And here's why I'm saying it, and the argument itself, does it or does it not make sense? And do we have sources? Can you have links that can check? Do we have different opinions? Can we gather them in one place? Can we have a discussion about it? Can we have a debate? And so what that allows us to do is to really go into depth, great depth sometimes, more than you want to know depth, about individual topics that might not have that same kind of airing. What's fascinating is that as the CDC and the Health and Human Services Department watch this exchange, they take into account a lot of this. There was a recent flyer or sort of a status report from the CDC noting that they've taken into account a lot of this, and they're starting to try to get focus groups from average Americans interacting with the feds in terms of such topics as what do we do about vaccines, what would be an acceptable way to promulgate information, what if we don't have enough and we have to ration, what is the acceptable sense from the citizens in terms of what we should do. I'm not saying we have answers there either, that's another controversial topic, but some of the people who are assigned at CDC to look into this have basically said, we've learned from going out to talk to citizens that you have to assume that they, number one, can be educated, and number two, they can, if you treat them with respect and give them enough information, start debating some of these topics in ways that actually help us because we get valuable feedback. So the whole concept of this interactivity has really been a huge help, and I think it's going to turn out to be a help for those government planners who are really trying to deal with some of these questions.
I think one of the main issues about having a wiki is, I mean, in terms of, from a government standpoint, the lack of control. Do you think?
Yes.
How severe is that? Why is it that the government doesn't embrace, you know, any government or any organization would have a hard time embracing this? How do you see that happening?
I'm not sure that they really are in a position to. In a lot of ways, we do for them what they can't do for themselves. They are the authority. And it's very difficult for anybody in an authority position to say, I don't know. Usually what happens is authority people in that setting don't answer the question at all. They certainly don't want to answer it wrong. Nobody ever, ever misleads you in that regard. What you find is there's simply no answer. And so I think what we have done is sort of push them to be a little bit better about saying, I don't know, or this is a controversial topic, or it's unclear. I mean, those are the sort of statements that you'll hear. And they have started to appear much more often as people like the FluWiki denizens and other, we're certainly not the only site on the web by any means, but as it's clear that there's a motivated and informed group of lay people out there who are asking some of the questions. Groups like the World Health Organization, for example, have become much better at posting what they know more often and saying within the updates, we know this, we don't know that.
So parts of the NGOs are actually participating in the process as well?
Well, the World Health Organization, which I guess you could call an NGO. I mean, they're certainly not a government organization, but they are an official branch of the United Nations and government sponsored, and as official as it gets. Read us. We know they read us, so we are linked to them in some of their branch offices. The Southeast Asian branch has a link to FluWiki, for example, and you know, they have a public email, so every once in a while if we have a question, we write them and we say, we have a question about this. It doesn't mean that they write us back, but we know that they get our email, and so they're aware of what we're saying.
How's the response rate like?
Well, a place like World Health Organization doesn't respond to us, but that's not surprising. The way the World Health Organization is set up is that they're really only supposed to be responsive to federal governments. Here's an interesting thing. During the SARS epidemic, when Canada was having issues and the provinces, Ontario, etc., were having questions, who is not really set up to talk to the provinces? They're only set to talk to the federal government. So I certainly don't expect them to respond to individuals. When I say respond, I mean write me a letter back and saying thank you for writing who thinks this or who thinks that. That doesn't happen. But they read us. And if in reading us we influence how they act or what they say or how they interact with the public, that's a response. And that sort of response we feel like we are beginning to see a little bit. Other places, like the European version of the CDC or the CDC, do write us back when we have questions. We found some mistakes on the CDC webpage and wrote them and said, you know, it's you said X, and we really think it's Y. We really think you should change that and fix it. It's probably an error. And they fix it. Hmm. Now, if they fix it and they don't write us back, that's still the response as far as I'm concerned, and that's all we were looking for, not credit. We don't want somebody to say, hey, FluWiki is the one that made us change this and correct it. We're not looking for that. We just want the best available, most accurate information available for anybody who's interested in going and finding it.
How do you think, parts of the government are actually referring and reading your site.
Yes,
how do you think are their sentiments towards FluWiki?
I think in a way it's sort of synergistic. I honestly think that in certain respects they would, prefer to have control over everything. That's just the way governments are. But at the same time, I think they appreciate the fact that we get to hash out some of the more contentious issues, and they get a chance to see how that's happening before they have to make a call and do it themselves.
Changing subject a little bit, want to find out more about your demographic of FluWiki.
Okay.
What percentage of people, or if you have actual figures, are actually contributors versus, say, readers?
Well, we have probably between 30 to 50 regular contributors in the wiki proper, that is to say the storage, the repository of information. And we probably have another couple of thousand people who read and log in and take the trouble to actually make a response of one kind or another. And then beyond that, at this point, we're getting about 15,000 hits a day. So there's many more people who are reading than are either doing one of those.
Okay. And while there are expert contributors putting up material there and helping to sort and organize information, mm-hmm. do you have to deal with a lot of acts of vandalism on the site?
Not a lot. We have to deal with a few. The wiki software is pretty flexible in terms of being able to fix or correct that. No question it happens. I mean, there are incidents probably once or twice a day.
Do you know what...
But the editors aren't mm-hmm. the only ones who can fix it.
I see. Do you know, has there been any interesting cases of vandalism from any specific organization or anything like that?
Oh, well, I don't ever consider vandalism interesting.
So,
people drop, porn links or links to commercial products, gambling casinos, the usual stuff that shows up in your email that you try to filter.
Mm-hmm.
People try to put that on the website, and so we just remove it.
So you don't think that that's, even though Wiki is an open place where people can edit and add content, it spamming and vandalism hasn't been an issue at all for FluWiki?
It's been a minor annoyance. It's not been a major issue.
Okay. Has there been any other major issues with regards to the way a wiki is run?
I think that in a perfect world, the forum where people comment would be a little bit easier to organize. It's really right now we're using one specific software, PMWiki, which is a really very flexible tool. We're very happy with it. It's not the only wiki software out there, but the particular platform that we have chosen is really content-driven in terms of the wiki side, and it really was not built to have a completely flexible forum where you can divide the forum by topics and such. Many of the chat rooms and bulletin boards on the internet are much more robust in that regard. We originally saw the platform of the forum as being something to comment about the wiki side where we were actually putting the information, so that people might write in and say, you know, I tried to edit this and I'm having trouble, or here's a different way to organize the data that's on the other side. But in fact, the forum has become just a regular bulletin board where people who are interested in prepping or or gaining information about the influenza in one way or another, wind up talking to each other. And that's great, but what winds up happening is that they all talk to each other, and then the vast majority of people who come to the forum often don't even, on a daily basis, read the other part of the wiki. They're just there to socialize and gain information from the forum itself. The forum lends itself to things like news reports. People from all over the world write in every 15 minutes, "I found another news report you should know about." And that's great. It helps to keep you aware of what's going on. But news reports aren't verified, so that if last night, for example, people are writing in that there's a lot of people in India who have fever, and that's worrisome, you don't know why they have fever. You don't know whether or not that's an old story, a new story, a correct story, et cetera, et cetera. And that doesn't lend itself to building the other part of the wiki. So it's always an interesting dynamic between those two groups, those two sides.
A few of us were talking about Wikipedia. A few of us, meaning at the University of Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's often, more than often than not, people from the news media would talk to us about Wikipedia, okay, about issues, for example, about politicians having irrelevant information there, information that only promoted their cause and might not
correct.
Be factual.
Their staffs might,
these
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we realized was that, you know, do you believe in the maxim that a wiki is a great place to start your research but not end it?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that everything that we have there, the presumption is you should check it. We try to provide links backing up what we say and why we say it. I don't think anybody should ever read FluWiki and say it must be true, I read it in FluWiki. Mm-hmm. I think that should be the start and not the end. What we can do, however, is gather good starting point links and information in one place, making it much easier for anybody to find. But we would not want to be considered the definitive anything. I think anybody who really thinks of themselves as, you know, it must be true because I said it, is going to stop doing the research themselves, stop checking themselves in terms of what they think. And I don't think that that's particularly where we want to be.
Hmm.
Now, one thing's different is because we're not doing personalities here. We're not cataloging personalities. That's not the information that's there. So I think that there is less tendency, or there's less impetus, if you will, to put incorrect information there. What would be the point?
So it seems like the subject matter itself defines the certain behaviors and habit of users as well.
I think so. I don't think that a different topic automatically would work as well as this one.
That's an interesting perspective.
I don't know that it wouldn't, but I don't assume that it would. One of the interesting things, I think truly interesting things, and some of the references that I gave you on the email that I sent prior to this, is that when we first set up the wiki, within 9 or 10 days of putting it up, it was already clear that there were three separate groups of people outside the wiki who were reading it, who were interested in it, who were sending us email or making comments or blogging in their own blogs about what was going on with the wiki. The first group were people who were interested in influenza as a topic. The second group of people were IT people who were interested in the concept of the wiki as a vehicle for sort of combining information in a traditional blog with encyclopedic type of scenarios, you know, those who were interested in Web 2.0 as a concept. And then there was a third group of people. I expected the first, I expected the second, but the third group of people kind of surprised me in terms of who was interested in it from the get-go, and those were the library sciences people. And from the moment that we put up the wiki, we started an argument, it seems like, in the library science world about what's an authoritative source and who can you trust and why should you trust this and so on and so forth. And so one of the references that I sent you along was some of the dialogue that we had with the library sciences people from the very beginning in terms of, you know, sort of justify yourself. Why do you think that this is a good idea? Why should anybody believe you?
Do you think it's up to the users or the readers themselves to assess this?
Yes and no. It's always up to the reader. I mean, caveat lector, I think everybody should always challenge anything that they read by anybody under any circumstance as a starting point. Okay, maybe subsequent information will say, all right, this is a more reliable source, or that's a less reliable source based on track record. But I think everything should always be challenged, and that's why, going back to what you brought up, I think that it's always a starting point of information, never an endpoint. At the same time, as a political blogger, prior to doing and during the time that I blog at FluWiki, I am very aware that there are legitimate reasons for blogging from a pseudonymous perspective, which, by the way, is a history that goes back to Ben Franklin and the founders of this country. There's a lot of people who have always blogged pseudonymously for various reasons, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's an honorable tradition. It predates Franklin and the other founders certainly by many thousands of years, but there's nothing wrong or evil or suspect just because somebody doesn't happen to print their name. It doesn't make what you're writing invalid, and we don't want to sort of make the logical error of ad verecandium, where you're supposed to believe what somebody says because, let's say, they've got a lot of letters and credentials after their name. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make them right. Now, leaving the letters and credentials and degrees off shouldn't make anybody wrong. So it may be reassuring for some people to say, well, you know, that's a doctor that said that, or that's not only a doctor but a PhD who said that, or that's somebody who's a chairman of a department who said that. But actually, the content really should be correct or incorrect based on its own logical foundation, and whether or not it could be justified, and whether or not it could be verified in other ways. So if you don't flash your degrees and credentials when you post, that shouldn't invalidate what you're saying. Stop me if I'm not making sense.
Well, that makes sense. And I think it ties back very well to content on the wiki itself, because, you know, whether it's on print material, whether it's in a, you know, it's a popular journal, okay, at the end of the day, like how you put it, it is very much that the person still has to look into and research and recheck the information, because mistakes can happen. One,
yes, yes.
Someone could emulate, you know, pretend to be someone else. You know, they could have fake credentials, content could be faked. I mean, I guess it's just giving the illusion of trust.
Sure. I mean, they can have real credentials and just be wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's true, too. But I guess, yeah, I think when we talk about wikis and the fear of the lack of authentication, the lack of verification, where things happen so fast, it's hard to say, is this true or is this false? I think one of the prime things that the wiki is teaching us that perhaps we've been taking for granted is the idea of trust.
Yes.
A lot of people in academia are trying to figure out ways to understand how online personalities, wikis, bloggers, they can create a sense of trust through things like reputation.
Yes.
There are certain mechanics, for example, the idea of building karma points, the idea of having a track record. These things build reputation, and these things sort of like build that trust. Do you think FluWiki has or will come to a point where it becomes synonymous with being a trustworthy source?
I think it will. I hope it will. I see in certain respects we are using the forum and the dialogue between different groups of people who normally don't trust each other to try to get to that point, and I'd be happy to give you an example. Mm-hmm. I'm a liberal blogger. I tend to blog from the center-left part of the blogosphere. So you bring up the question of trust, and who should you trust? I mean, should I trust Fox News? Should somebody who blogs from the right-center part of the blogosphere trust CNN? Or The Daily Show? You have different points of view already in terms of what's a trustworthy source. And yet, Those of us who blog from the center-left part of the blogosphere know the people who blog from the center-right part. We know each other. We've already learned who you can and can't trust, who's reliable, who's just an ideologue, who's on the payroll of a one party or another, and is clearly doing it not from, this is what I think, but this is my job. So that sort of trust, mistrust, distrust, or healthy skepticism, or whatever you want to call it, already exists, and as a political blogger, I'm used to that, and that concept doesn't bother me at all, because I think that's always what you have to do. Now we get to FluWiki, and lo and behold, influenza is something that affects everybody, and it doesn't ask whether you're a liberal or a conservative or a Democrat or a libertarian or an independent. And so we have people who come to the website and wind up blogging about flu, and lo and behold, some of them are very conservative and some of them are very liberal, and you know, my track record in terms of my pseudonym is out there, anybody can go find it. But you make friends with the people who are on the conservative side who might not give you the time of day on a political blog, but are more than happy to engage you in dialogue on a topic like influenza, because it cuts across a lot of the barriers and segregations that people have in their regular daily meat world kind of life. So we wind up saying, okay, we're going to agree not to keep politics on the FluWiki. We're going to agree not to talk about religion. We're going to agree not to really talk about too much about guns and ammunition. You know, these are controversial topics that don't lend itself to dialogue. We're going to skip those. And we're going to get down to other things about how communities interact with each other. And in doing that, which takes a great deal of work, and it takes a great deal of work on the part of the moderators, you wind up building trust. You wind up saying, okay, even though this is somebody I normally wouldn't give the time of day to, in this topic at least, I feel like I'm getting a fair shake. I feel like I'm being listened to, and so on and so forth. And then over time, you wind up saying, all right, well, if I can trust them on that very contentious area, maybe I can, you know, also trust them on this. And I think that's how that works. It takes time, but I think that it can be very successful.
This is a very interesting concept, because what you've effectively told me is how you've transferred your reputation from the political space into the health space.
Yes.
In a sense.
Yes.
Now,
and I believe that's correct. And I think that one of the reasons I'm the moderator is because I had a reasonable enough reputation in the political sphere that I wasn't considered a firebrand or a liar or a totally nutcase partisan, so that it would work.
Okay. Now, if someone, or in fact most of the readers who come by the site, such as myself actually, might not be too familiar with the political scene, might not know you, and might not know the other contributors on the site. This,
right.
I think this is the inherent problem with, you know, technology in this sense, in the wiki sense, for anyone, any outsider, okay, who's concerned with, say, the flu, influenza pandemic.
Right.
To be able to assess what is, you know, who is trustworthy and who is not.
Right.
Now, if someone from the political field who recognized you came to a FluWiki, then there'd be less doubt in terms of the content on the site.
Right.
How does FluWiki go about, you know, is there any active, is there an activity in a sense of creating that sense of reputation?
Sure. And the way that happens is that we have been linked from various media sites, whether it's The Guardian in the United Kingdom, whether it's PBS, whether it is U.S. News and World Report. We're listed when they go to the resources section of these very well-known media blogs, USA Today. You'll find FluWiki, and people will find them through the media. Since media is self-selective, those that want to watch Fox News, watch Fox News, and those that want to watch PBS, watch PBS, then if you are looking at a media market or a media vehicle that you trust and they refer you to us, that automatically sort of lifts your trust in us just a little bit. But more importantly, it actually brings your eyeballs to view the site. Once that happens, then you start having people who are in more of the professional arena that might review the site. We have some very well-known flu researchers who have come and reviewed the site, who have been interviewed and been asked about it. That appeared in the, if you recall, the APCNN article that was reviewing the site that mentioned Melanie Mattson, one of the founders, and two names, you know, were in that. One of whom, Arnold Monto, is one of the country's foremost influenza researchers. He's an epidemiologist at the University of Michigan, and the other is a person who is one of the moderators for the Infectious Disease Society of America's email called ProMed. So when those two people say, we looked at FluWiki, it's okay, that means that the people who know them therefore get a little bit higher trust level. We were just recently reviewed by Science Magazine, one of the premier weekly science magazines in the country. Science is part of the American Academy of Advancement of Science, AAAS. It's published every week. Nature, which is the European version, has also looked at FluWiki. And when you look at people who read those magazines and then FluWiki is mentioned in a not negative way, that also raises the trust level a little bit. So all of these things together, plus actually finding the content, once you actually get the eyeballs to look at you, then finding the content and then checking the content. If you're an expert, you read it and you say, yep, that sounds right. Or if you're not an expert and you read the content and you say, well, let me check that somewhere else, and you go to the CDC, or if you go to World Health Organization and they're saying the very same thing, or better yet, we have something on our site that they don't, or we have it in an easier way to find than they do, but it's the same material, then you say, okay, well, you know, I checked it and it seems to be correct.
Effectively, you've shown two ways in which FluWiki builds up the identity and the trustworthiness. One of which is from the political scene to the health scene. A few of you are actually recognized bloggers. So that kind of, in a way, helped give a head start to FluWiki, do you think?
Yes. The political side of the blogosphere just happens to be very large, with a lot of very active and passionate people. So it's a large platform to reach a lot of people relatively quickly. That doesn't mean they're interested in health topics, and it doesn't mean they'll stay, but you can certainly at least get them to look at you.
Right. And these are what I would think as the most active participants or in terms of blogging and having a voice and all that, right?
In general, yeah.
Yeah, so they make...
But there are people who are passionate about public health, I have found out, who are just as passionate about public health as other people are about politics.
I see. Besides reputation for the political scene, citations from, you know, established media sources and even journals.
Yes.
Is there any other source where... or any other way in which FluWiki actually builds up reputation?
Other than word of mouth, probably not. I think that a lot of it actually now comes from people, and when I look at our how did you get here, a lot of our traffic now comes from searches. People will go on Google or, you know, some other search engine and just look for something that has to do with the flu, and we pop up a lot. And so therefore they come and they look.
Okay. And like you mentioned, the content itself is something that if the person were an expert or find the content reasonable, then that in itself should give credit to FluWiki then.
Yeah, and one of the things we really try to do is to write the content in such a way that it's understandable. The fact that we have a lot of late people who are looking at it and rewriting it and editing it and such actually helps us to make sure that what we're writing is intelligible. If it's not intelligible, it doesn't really help anybody.
That's true. Since it's meant for the public, it has to be in certain terminologies and lingo that's easy to consume.
Right, and because everybody begins to develop their own language and their own jargon, we have to be real clear about explaining what the jargon is. That you know, that's why there are the forum pieces you know, for new people. Look, you know, here's our terminology, just so you know. When somebody says H to H, they're talking about human to human, just so you know. And there's a difference between pandemic flu and bird flu, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's something that's addressed in the academic field a lot as well. Yeah, it's a similar problem. Okay, before we end off, do you wish for anything in FluWiki's future?
I would hope that there'd be more participants. I would hope that there'd be more readers. I would hope there'd be more regular colors of information from the dialogue, whether it's here or elsewhere, that actually makes its way to the repository. And I think that on the whole, I would also love for our unofficial relationship with some of the government and official sources to really improve, which I think it already has been. One of the interesting things is I don't think that you'll find FluWiki linked from the pandemicflu.gov or the CDC or the Fed sites, but we're starting to show up on a lot of state health department pages, because the state health departments have realized that by using FluWiki, it's an easy way to find what other state health departments are doing. In future, I would hope that hospitals would sign on, because then they'd be able to find out what other hospitals are doing. The towns would be able to sign on, because they'd find out what other towns, like size, maybe within the state, are doing, and so on and so forth. So we're really trying to build community in various ways, and everybody has a different idea of what their community is, because everybody has different needs.
Well, thank you for your time, Dem.
My pleasure.
It's been a very, very, very interesting conversation with you.
Oh, I appreciate it. I don't exactly know what you're going to do with this interview, so I might ask you that question before I sign off.
Sure. What I plan to do is to actually, in a way, record it, edit it down, and put it up as a podcast on my site. I can actually... I try to preserve the whole thing as much as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can feel free to use it as you see fit as well. You can edit it down as well.
Well, thank you. When you get it up there, let me know. I like reading your site, so I'd like to know when you have something about us, and we'll come back and take a look at it.
Thanks. And thanks for sending me all the updates.
I thought they might be of interest to you and your mm-hmm. readers.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Take care. Bye. And.